Today I want to think with you regarding a very important revelation in the Bible, and that is the Sabbath. Now, when I say the word Sabbath, I'm speaking Hebrew. Sabbath is a straight Hebrew word, not pronounced quite like that. The S is a sh, so it starts with sh, and the B's are pronounced as V's in some pronunciation, so it would be Shabbat. Sabbath is near enough. Have you ever wondered why in the Bible Sabbath is not translated? I'll tell you why. The Holy Spirit didn't allow it to be translated. See, they translated all the other thousands of words, or most of them, but there are a few they didn't translate. When Pastor Todorovich finished his prayer, he said, Amen. Amen is a straight Hebrew word. Only in Hebrew it's pronounced Amen. So there are two Hebrew words that you knew about that maybe you didn't realize were Hebrew. But Sabbath is a Hebrew word, and I am absolutely certain that when it came to be translated in all the versions, the Holy Spirit put his hand over the translators, and what they did was to transliterate it. They crossed over the letters. That's what transliteration means, into the new language. Instead of putting a sheen, they put an S. Instead of putting the kamet, they put an A. Instead of putting the beth, they put a B. Instead of putting another beth with a dagish, they put another B. And the special sound for the vowel, they put another A. And that they put with a TH. They transferred the Hebrew letters, the Hebrew characters, into English, and you will find it in many, many languages, hundreds of languages, that when the word Sabbath appears in the Hebrew and the Greek testaments, it's translated by the letters of that other language. It's not translated, it's transliterated. And the reason for that, I am convinced, is that the Holy Spirit wanted us to focus on Sabbath. Not take for granted that it meant this, that, or the other thing. And actually, Sabbath, of course, is untranslatable, as we shall see in a moment. And when the Holy Spirit does this, what he is trying to do, what he is trying to communicate it to us, is stop, look, think, study, discover what the meaning is. So we are going to concentrate on this word, Sabbath. Let's see first its etymological meaning. There's an author, I wish I had met him, but he died long before I was crawling, called Robert Cox. Scotsman, a lawyer. He practiced law in the city of Edinburgh. He was a member of the Antiquarian Society. His hobby was collecting old books and manuscripts. Robert Cox, an attorney, a Presbyterian. And I came across him first when I was looking at the indexes in the library, the National Library, or the Advocates Library, as it used to be called, in the city of Edinburgh. And I noticed in several times, Cox Bequest, Cox Bequest, Cox Bequest. And so I went eventually to the librarian and said, what is the meaning of this Cox Bequest? And she looked at it, and looked up at me. And she says, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't know. I've never noticed it before. Nobody's ever called my attention to it before, but I'll find out. So she pops back into the room, talks to another librarian, comes out and says, this is a special gift that Robert Cox made to the Advocates' Library of his collection of books on the Sabbath. Then it was that my 2 ears, suddenly elongated, became like a jackrabbit's, wagged twice, and something came out of my mouth. Would you please let me see it? And she says, I'll have to find out where it is. And so she popped back again, came out with a bunch of keys, and said, follow me. So I followed her. If any of you have seen St. Giles Cathedral in the city of Edinburgh and can look at the main entrance, your back towards the castle, right to your right, there's a parking lot right by the side of the cathedral. Between that and the next somber, gray-black granite building is the Advocates' Library. It was in there. So we went up a tower, and she took me to this octagonal room, high room. She says, this is where his collection is housed. So I said, will you let me look at it? Sure, she said. So she left me in there and went back. She says, come on down when you're through. It consists of thousands of books, tracts, pamphlets on the Sabbath. And he published a book called The Literature of the Sabbath Question in 2 volumes, Robert Cox. I had the privilege, about 1963, I think it was, to take Elder Robert Odom up from Newbold to Edinburgh, and we spent a week with the Cox collection. They gave us a table, and the librarians wheeled in on 5 or 6 deck carts these books. And he was checking up for his bibliography of a 2-volume history of the Sabbath that he was writing. It consists of many different language tracts on the Sabbath, all that he could collect, and it was quite a collection. Now, he published another pamphlet anonymously. We had to do some detective work to find out the authorship of this book. It's called Sabbaths, An Inquiry into the Origin of the Septenary Institutions and the Authority for a Sabbatical Observance of the Modern Sunday. A big, long title. And it's interesting how this book came into my collection. It starts with 2 lectures on the poetry of Poe. And it's got all sorts of things. It's got a study on the Neapolitan government by Gladstone, and it's got all kinds of letters in this thing. Hebrew cosmology and modern interpretations. But I was very interested in this septenary institutions and thought I would find out who wrote it. He makes an attempt that is, to my mind, the best etymological study of the etymology of the word Sabbath. And I would like to write it on the board. As he breaks the word Sabbath up. The word Sabbath looks something like that. Comets, as I recollect. With a dagish, which means that this letter is repeated. This is the B. This is the S, A, B, B, A, T, H. Shabbat. Now his suggestion is that this comes from the root Ab. Which means father. Abba, Abbot, Abbey, Abba, used many times. Ab means father. Abraham, found in many, many names, many combinations. Ab, the regular word for father. Now, his suggestion of the Yod, the S, the Yod in front of it, is from the word Ish, which is a word meaning an old man, and came to be tied in with the idea of reverence and age and honor. And he says this Yod part was lost, and the Sheen was attached to it in this form. And he takes, for example, the word Saab in Southern Asia, Sahib, Saab, which means respected or honored sir. Saab. Yod lost in the word Ish, the Sheen attached to the Ab, making it the Shav, or the revered, ancient, honorable, respected father. So he suggests the first part of Sabbath means the honorable father, the ancient father, the revered father. Now the Bath part of it has this as the root. It's the word off. It can also be written like that. Sometimes pronounced S, sometimes pronounced AF when it's in different combinations. The B in front of it is the inseparable preposition meaning in or at. And so he suggests the Bath or the Beth part of it is at the Af, whatever the Af may be, which he goes on to explain. In or at. Now you get this word Beth or Bath in Bathsheba, in Bethlehem, in Bethabara, in Elizabeth. Beth or Bath is found in many, many Hebrew words. This word, at or et or off, when it stands alone, means a sign. You drive down the street and you see a spiraling red, white, and blue sign revolving with a light in the middle of it. You go there to get your horse shod? No. You get there, go there to get your hair cut. You want to see a drugstore? Pestle and mortar. Big R with an X in it. Many signs. These are hallmarks or signs. The word af, whether it's spelled out or whether it's abbreviated, means the sign, the designation. The Beth in front of it is at the sign. Take the name Bethlehem, Beit Lechem. The word Lechem means bread. Be at F, the sign, Lechem of bread. Beit Lechem is at the sign of the bread, or at the sign of the baker. So it's no coincidence that the bread of life was produced in a little town called the house of bread or the house of the baker. Beit Lechem, Bethlehem. That's where the bread of life was manifest. That's what the word means. So at the sign, B, F,
bath of the ancient or revered father is Cox's suggestion for the etymology of the word Sabbath. At the sign of the revered father. But at of the sign of the father who is revered. Now the word ish means man, in the same sense as the Latin vir means man. Now vir is a special kind of man. From the word vir, you get virility, virtue. It means the strength, the essence, the power, the character of man. He's not thinking of man as opposed to a woman, or man as opposed to an animal. But it's thinking of man in the manly sense of that. When you say, what a man, vir. The word ish has got that connotation. It's the very essence of manhood, of the character that he stands for, communication, sympathy, intelligence, reason, the will to do, to devise. That which makes a man, which causes him to be revered, to be respected. So the ish, the abbreviation, yod, knocked out, of the father, with all that that connotes, patriarchal authority, leadership, poise, strength, antiquity, the revered, the ancient father, at his sign. So when God made the Sabbath to be a sign, now let's look at that verse. This is found in the book of Exodus. Chapter 31. Verse 13. Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Notice that. Sabbath is a sign. Verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. So this word Sabbath, literally meaning at the sign of the everlasting Father, is described here. God says the Sabbath is my sign. That's what it means. Now if you said the meaning of the word Sabbath was at the sign of the everlasting Father, and then you said every time we find Sabbath in the Bible, we will translate it. Now see what sort of job you would have. Remember the at the sign of the everlasting Father to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, but the seventh is the sign of the everlasting Father. In it thou shalt not do any work. Well, that of course would be absurd. You couldn't go repeating that phrase every time you came to it. And so the Holy Spirit says, shush, let's put Sabbath down there. And the man that wants to study it, he can go find it out. The rest of them don't care anyway, so let them go on their happy way. It won't affect them at all. And so there is there embedded in that wonderful name that was coined and given to it by God, the very essence of its meaning. This period of time, the seventh day, is the sign of the everlasting Father. Now let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which he had made. Now what did he call this seventh day? Hold your finger here and turn to the next book in the Bible, the 20th chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, and I've already quoted part of God's definitive statement as to what he called the seventh day. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. All right, so on the seventh day, Genesis 2:2, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the Sabbath day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that he had rested. Now you will find some paraphrases, say verse 2, on the sixth day God ended his work. Don't agree with that, because that's not so. What work did God do on the seventh day? Pardon me? He created the Sabbath. Mark 2, 28 and 29. I beg your pardon, it's 27 and 28. I'm inventing a verse. Mark 2, 27 and 28. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day. Who made the Sabbath? Jesus. Without him was not anything made that was made. He made all things. He made the Sabbath. His work on the seventh day was creating the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And it was made for man on the seventh day. And Jesus himself kept that first Sabbath day. Coming back to Genesis 2, let us look at these words. Genesis 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day he ended the work which he had made. The work that he made on the seventh day was making the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man by the Son of Man, who was Lord of the Sabbath day. He rested on the seventh day. All right, now what is rested? He made it, he worked, he created, and yet he rested. Now, what does the word rest mean? I think in order to move into the meaning of that, you've got to look at other contexts in which this, and similar words, not always the same form, but similar words are found. Take, for example, the book of Ruth. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. While you're looking for it, may I tell you that the word Ruth in Hebrew means rose. And somebody long ago said the book of Ruth rests like a rose between the purple of Judges, the ermine of Judges, and the purple of Kings. So the book of Judges is in front of it, and the book of Kings, called 1 Samuel or 1 Kings, you look in the heading, each side of the book of Ruth. The ermine of Judges and the purple of Kings. Ruth nestles like a rose. Now you have found it. Chapter 1, verse 9. Naomi is telling her daughters-in-law, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." All right, now many of us are married. You wives who are married happily have found rest in the house of your husband. Of course, your husband gets up every morning and gets you breakfast, and then he washes up breakfast, and he cleans the house, and he does the washing, he brings in the groceries, he prepares the dinner. Isn't that what happens?
Doesn't happen in our house. Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest in the house of your husband." If I had to choose one modern word, I would put the word fulfillment. Fulfillment. A happily married couple enjoys fulfillment in their home, according to the scripture. And when Jesus created the Sabbath day, he created it because in it he had enjoyed fulfillment. It made something. Now, have you ever made anything? Have you ever wallpapered a room and finished the wretched thing at 2 o'clock in the morning? Cleaned up all the gook and all the pieces of paper and taken a shower and then gone back into that room and felt suddenly exhilarated. Job's done. Tired out, almost crawling up a wall, but you see what you've done and you're satisfied. You've forgotten all that has gone before. The Bible talks about a mother going through all the travail of birth, forgetting about it when she gathers the little one to her heart. In the moment of fulfillment, fulfillment. The Sabbath for God was a time in which he enjoyed the fulfillment of the week's work. He rested not as one that was weary, but as one well pleased with what he had accomplished. Behold everything that he had done, and lo, it was very good. Verse 3. God blessed the Sabbath. Now what does this word blessed mean? Let's look at it. First appearance in the Bible. Genesis 1, verse 21 and 22. And God created great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters." And then, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man." Verse 27, God created man in his own image. Verse 28, God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion." And the third thing he blessed was the Sabbath. Now you tell me, what is the meaning of the word blessed? Now I want you to answer. What is the meaning of the word blessed? See, there were a couple of whales. There was a daddy whale and a mama whale. And God blessed the daddy and mama whale and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters." Then there was a daddy and mama man. And God said, "Be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and have dominion." All right, what does the word blessed mean? Be fruitful, have dominion, subdue. He didn't tell that to daddy and mama whale, but he did that to daddy and mama man. Now he blessed the Sabbath. Is that procreation for the Sabbath? He blessed the whales, and he blessed the men, and he blessed the Sabbath. So what is the meaning of the word blessed? I want a nice definition that will out Webster Webster. Well, now, could that be to the Sabbath? It's something that will have to apply to the Sabbath as well.
What was that?
Provide.
Approval and power. That's beginning to cook with Crisco. Fund me? Happy? No. Sabbath couldn't be happy. No, the fellow that translated happy in the Beatitudes missed it by 10 leagues. Of course, blessed is very difficult to translate. It's easy to explain. See, the meaning of the word bless is to empower to fulfill intrinsic function. Write that at the back of your spectacle lens and look at it. Divine empowering to fulfill intrinsic function. That you can deduce. See, there was a daddy and mama whale created to fulfill a certain function. There was a daddy and mama man created to fulfill another function. And there was a Sabbath created to fulfill another function. And he blessed each one of us. He empowered each one in his own sphere to fulfill the purpose for which it had been created. So if you want to condense that into nice Websterian language, it will be divine empowering to fulfill intrinsic function. Whatever that function may be. Now you take that little definition and work through the Beatitudes, and they'll mean 500% more than ever meant by saying happy and switching your brain off. See, we choose these simple little cliches that miss the point and think we understand it, rather than get to grips with the Bible in the context in which these words are used. There would still have been only two whales if God had not blessed them. Now, if you had been there, sitting on a rock, looking at the whales blowing, you would have heard God say, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters. Now, if you had been sitting on a branch of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you would have seen Adam and Eve down below, you would have heard God say, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. He didn't say that to the whale. That wasn't an intrinsic function of the whale. He didn't say that to the butterfly. But he did say that to man. But you wouldn't have heard the word blessed. But if you had had the inspired insight that Moses was given, when those words were told you by the angel, you would have said, aha, when God said this, he was blessing them. He was empowering them to carry out all that they had been created to carry out. So if I may let that by again, blessing is divine empowering to fulfill intrinsic function. Whatever that function may be. So he created animals and birds and reptiles and fish and insects to carry out their intrinsic function. And in order to enable them to do that, he blessed them. He created man to carry out other functions. And in order to enable him to do that, he blessed him, he empowered him. Now, he created the Sabbath. When does the Sabbath begin? Sundown. When is the even? What is the verse? Where is it found? Leviticus 23:32. L-E-V 2332. Remember a phone number. L-E-V 2332. Leviticus 23:32. From even to even shall he celebrate the Sabbath. When is even? At even when the sun did set. So when the sun set on Friday, the Sabbath began. And when the sun set on Saturday, the Sabbath ended. That period of 24 hours, God blessed. He empowered to fulfill the function for the creation of the Sabbath. Now get this. This is not man-made theory. God blessed the Sabbath day. He empowered the Sabbath day, this period of 24 hours, to do something that no other period of 24 hours was blessed to do. Make no mistake about that. The Sabbath is the sign of the everlasting Father. It's the signature of the Creator. By Him it has been empowered to fulfill the purpose for which He created it. And the purpose is rest. And rest is fulfillment. Now God could not have kept the Sabbath unless He had worked for 6 days. He couldn't. There would be nothing to be fulfilled for the Sabbath. That's why He says in Exodus, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and then the seventh is the day of fulfillment. You won't have anything to fulfill if you don't do 6 days labor. So the fourth commandment takes care of the whole week. It tells you what you are to do for the 6 days, and then it tells you what will be the result in the seventh day. Now those 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a householder that calls together his servants and gives to every man his work. The master has given to every one of us the work that we must do. And when we do the work that the master has given us to do for 6 days, then we can enter into his rest. Now let's find the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 4. And God spake in a certain place of the seventh day in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now we just read that in Genesis chapter 2, 1 and 2. A certain place, Genesis 2, 1 and 2, God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse 7. He limits it, even in the days of David, to a certain day, saying, today. And then he concludes in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. Genesis 4, 9 margin. Now this word rest in verse 9 is sabbatismos. The ismos part of it is the doing of it. Baptismos. It's carrying through the act of baptizing. Sabbatismos is carrying through the act of keeping the Sabbath. Paul here is saying that there remains a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. And then he goes on to explain what it means. Verse 10. For he, that man, who enters into God's rest, he also stops his own work as God stopped his. Let us labor. 6 days shalt thou labor. Therefore, to enter into that rest, God worked for 6 days, labored for 6 days, and rested the seventh. And that man who enters into God's rest stops his work in the same way that God stopped his. Let us labor. Day by day we must labor so as to enter into that rest, lest we fall out of the same example of unbelief as other people have fallen. So he's going back to Genesis, God spake in a certain place and he rested the seventh day after he worked for 6 days. And since there remains a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God, we who would enter into God's rest must stop our own work in the same way God stopped his. So we keep the commandment, we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. In it thou shalt not do any work. So the Old Testament and the New Testament are perfectly one in their significance. And today, when the sun set, just round about 5 o'clock, the Sabbath began, and God's blessing flowed into time. He blessed the Sabbath day. He didn't bless Friday, he didn't bless Thursday, he didn't bless Wednesday, he didn't bless Tuesday, he didn't bless Monday, he didn't bless Sunday. He blessed the seventh day. The seventh day is the only day God has blessed in this sense. The only period of time that he is empowered to fulfill the function for which he created us, created it to enable us to enter his rest. And the Sabbath, then, is the mark, the ark, the bath, the resting place, the abiding place of the Eternal Father. And if we would enter into the rest, the abiding place of the Eternal Father, we must stop our work as he did, so as to enter into his rest. And he has empowered the Sabbath to fulfill the purpose of fulfillment. Now, if you were the devil, and you knew this, what would you do about the Sabbath? Well, you'd get 450 million people keeping Friday. You would get 1 billion people keeping Sunday. You'd get 300 million people trying to mess around with Tuesday. You'd avoid the Sabbath. You'd get them to keep any day but the Sabbath. Because any day is not blessed, and the Sabbath is the only day that is blessed, according to the Bible. And if you were the devil, you'd move people away from the Sabbath to any day they wanted. Let them keep it any way they want. That's not the Sabbath. That day is not blessed to fulfill the purpose for which the Sabbath was created. So you cannot get a Sabbath blessing on Friday. Even if you pray 5 times a day and have the Muzayim calling you at every hour to worship, you can't. You will not get a Sabbath blessing on Sunday. If you have the church bells ringing from dawn till dusk, you will not get any blessing on Tuesday. If you drink the Benares dry, you won't. There's only one day God has blessed, and that's the seventh day. From sundown on Friday until sundown on Saturday. That is his day. Now let's turn to the 58th chapter of Isaiah and see what he calls this day. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. Now what does it mean to turn away your foot from the Sabbath? In the Bible, what does a foot symbolize? Ownership. Correct. Possession. Abraham had nowhere to lay his foot. That means he didn't possess any land. You will put your foot on the neck of your enemy. Get your concordance and look up the word foot. And say to yourself, what does it mean? Foot. It means the symbol of possession. And when you transferred real estate from yourself to somebody else, according to the Bible, what did you do? You took your shoe off, save you cutting your foot off, and you handed it to the new owner. You remember in the book of Ruth? He transferred ownership by giving the symbol of the foot that had walked on it to the other. Now you can go outside here, and you will read just outside the church door, side door, private property. Permission to pass over this, revocable at any time. See, the rank and file can put their feet on it every time they want, till the church board says, we're going to build something else on it. Then only the owners can put their feet on it. That's trespass. If you will take away your right of possession from the Sabbath, you don't claim any of that as your day. From doing thy pleasure on my holy day. My holy day. Now we are told to keep the Sabbath. It's God's holy day. Now let me illustrate this as I have illustrated it many times to the chickadees that you sent up to PUC. Sometime in the early summer we celebrate Mother's Day. Now I haven't a mother anymore. She lived with us, an old lady in her 80s, and she broke her hip and then fell. She had bad arthritis, and her bones became brittle. And she died. Now, Mother's Day came, and Molly and I always celebrated Mother's Day. Now, just imagine an 85-year-old lady who goes around with a walker very slowly, sometimes comes to eat at the dining room table and doesn't come. Mother's Day comes. And her son is there to celebrate Mother's Day. And so when she'd wake up in the morning, I would go to her and say, Mother, today is Mother's Day. We're really going to celebrate it today, your day. And then she says, Les, what are you going to do? Well, down in Calistoga, they have some sprint races. You know what those are? Those are a bunch of flatulent cars going snorting and roaring and crashing and rolling and stinking all around the fairground. We're going to the sprint races. And I see your face fall. Oh, it only lasts 2.5 hours and we'll give you a cushion. You can sit there. And then we're going to take you out. Now, where are you going? Oh, we'll take you over to Santa Rosa and we'll take you to Shakey's Pizza Parlor. And we'll give you the biggest pizza that Shakey can make. And her face is as long as it can. And then I say to her, well, when we finish that, then we go to the beach. And we'll go surfing. By this time, she's looking at me and shaking her head and saying, Les, I thought many times when you were a boy that you weren't with it. Now I know you're not. You know, that's an allegory. That's the way we do the Sabbath. We do what we want to on God's Sabbath day. What do you think God wants you to do tomorrow afternoon? Have you given it a thought? Or have you made a list as long as your arm of the things that you want to do on His holy day? The places that you want to go to on His holy day. See, we turn the labels round. Notice what the Lord says. If you take your foot, your right of possession, away from my day, it doesn't belong to you. Mother's Day is Mother's Day. Now what would my mother, 85 years of age, like to do? She hadn't eaten a pizza in decades. She'd need 5 pounds of Tums. She couldn't possibly survive. She liked milky food, soft, for her teeth. She'd lost long ago. She liked to look at the albums of her children and her relatives and her grandchildren. She liked to look at the pictures. She liked to sit there quietly and read and look out at the view and see the valley, think. She liked some old records that she could hear. It was her day. What do we do on Mother's Day? Things to please Mother or things to please ourselves? What do we do on the Lord's Day? The things to please the Lord or the things to please ourselves? If you will turn away from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, don't say it's Mother's Day and I've got to do this. How long does she stay awake? Well, she has a 4-hour nap in the afternoon. Praise be, I won't do anything with that. So how long have I got to be here? You come in that way into Mother's Day. What sort of a day do you keep? And if you treat God's Sabbath day like that, He looks down the same way. If you turn away from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, Mother's Day is a delight for Mother. Are you grateful for it? Are you grateful for it? Can you look back decades and see what Mother has meant to you? The prayers that she said for you? Can you spend that time for her celebrating it? Can you see what the Lord has done for you? Can you spend some time on the Sabbath day contemplating it? Can you look around and see what he's done and think about it? Grudge him some hours. Look at the Sabbath day. I remember I was a little boy up in Shillong, the mountain. Dad invited a family to come up from Calcutta and spend a little vacation. A Jew and a Jewess. Nice people. Very nice people. The Jewish boy smoked. It was his privilege. He was of age. It was his lungs he was taking care of. But you know, on the Sabbath afternoon, I saw that boy. I was just a little shaver. He was a grown man. I looked up at him. I could see him. He walked up and down looking at his watch, waiting for sundown to come. As soon as that was 1 second after, he didn't keep the Sabbath. He didn't keep the Sabbath one bit. Well, looking round tomorrow afternoon, when is the Sabbath finished anyway? Is it 5:04 or is it 5:03? If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. God says, I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God has given to the world, he has given to us, the Holy Sabbath. His day, blessed, empowered to give to the true believer a sense of fulfillment, peace and joy that nothing else in time will give. It's the signature of the everlasting Father. It's his sign, perpetual. And in the days that have no end, God's people will be keeping the Sabbath without break. They kept it before the fall. Some have kept it since. All the redeemed will keep it forever, achieving in it that feeling of fulfillment, that rich association with the Creator, that identification with his signature, with his sign, with his seal, with his hallmark, oneness with him, nothing else can give. And the apostle tells us tonight, let us labor so as to enter into his rest. Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He's my Lord, and he's your Lord, and he's also the Lord of the Sabbath. And we say tonight, Lord Jesus, my Lord, I accept the day that thou hast created and made and blessed. That thou dost acknowledge as thy sign, thy seal, the mark of those who identify with thee. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for Jesus, the creator of the Sabbath, the keeper of the Sabbath with us. We thank thee that today he too is observing the Sabbath that he made with us as he observed it in Eden long ago. Help us to enter his rest, the fulfillment, the achievement, the sense of accomplishment, of belonging, of satisfaction. Seal us, mark us, stamp us with this sign of our eternal Father. Help us to keep it. Help us to remember it, not only in time, but in eternity. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.